Cabrera does something, and that something is driven into center, way back, and gone, up into the shrubs. Straight away, center field, home run number 10 for one of the best in the game.
It's a physical game.
A monster jam by Blake Griffin.
Athanasiou's got to get one here. And he does.
Oh, what a move.
Stafford giving and getting it back. And the pass open. And it's caught by Tate. Tate inside the 10. Can he get in? He does. Touchdown.
They may not know everything about sports, but the view from their couch is pretty good. So kick back and enjoy a brew because, you know, they already are. Here's Eric Dorsch, Russ Ivanek, and Justin Marcus. This is Armchair Sports Talk.
All right, welcome into Armchair Sports Talk. As the voice always mentions, I'm Eric Dorsch. I'm joined by Russ Ivanek.
Hey, man. How's it going?
Doing good, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I mean, we had Pi Day this week, an NFL free agency officially start, and March Madness. It's a great time to be alive.
It is. It's a great, great, great time for us, especially for what we like to do. And obviously, Justin Marcus can't join us today. He's traveling. He's got this thing called a job, and he insists on going to it from time to time.
Jobs are overrated.
Well, even though you and I have been friends with this guy for a long time, we've seen screenshots of this man's computer. Nothing he ever does at work is work. So...
I mean, it's work. It just might not be for his job.
No, yeah. You and I, we play fantasy with Justin, fantasy hockey, fantasy football with Justin. I can tell you right now, if you go to his internet history, the things we can mention in his internet history is a lot of fantasy stuff, believe me. And some of the stuff we can't mention is probably fantasy, too.
Yeah, so, yeah, different kind of fantasy. Yeah.
Yeah, well, all right. Well, you mentioned it, so we're going to go right to it. NFL free agency started, and I have had to start taking blood pressure medicine because I'm going to die from everything that's going on. This is just we've said it multiple times. This might be the craziest free agency we can remember in the history of our memory of football anyway.
Oh, it's awesome. I mean, it's not for the faint of heart. You can't stay away from your phone for more than like 2 hours without something happening. Even like the week before, there was a trade. Every day.
Exactly. If you think about it, that what really kind of kicked this off, and it seems weird that this kicked it off because it seems like we've known about it for so long, really was the Alex Smith trade to Washington that we spoke the end for Kirk Cousins. Cousins, of course, signs with Minnesota, the team I think you mentioned it a while back. I didn't even have them on the top five list for being a team that he would sign with.
Yeah, I think it kind of came out of nowhere for some people because they had Bradford, Bridgewater, and Keenum all becoming free agents, but you just had no idea where the Vikings were going to go.
No, you really didn't. And, you know, and to me, I didn't even put them as a quarterback, you know, contender just for the fact that you said Bradford, Bridgewater. History says one of those two isn't leaving. You know, with the way the market is for quarterbacks, you kind of want to pad yourself as best you can. So we knew Case Keenum was going to go because Case Keenum is going to now demand starter money, and he's getting that in Denver, which that for me is the signing so far that I think is the best. I see way more potential in Case Keenum. I think he's going to thrive in Denver. I really do.
I mean, it'd be nice to have a quarterback thrive in Denver. It's been a while. Like, even when Peyton was there, he was okay. He was more game management, can't really turn my neck that way. Peyton Manning. Got him a Super Bowl, though. So, I mean, Case Keenum can have success there. I think it's a similar situation that he's leaving in Minnesota. I actually think the guy replacing him, Kirk Cousins, is the biggest signing so far, partly because I think he's a slight upgrade over Keenum, not a ton, but because he signed a 3-year, fully guaranteed deal. That's not what a franchise quarterback has done. Or a perceived franchise quarterback has done in free agency. They sign longer deals. Nobody gets a fully guaranteed contract. We could be feeling the ripples of this agreement for years, for decades. I mean, this is shades of LeBron in the NBA, of a player taking power back in his contract negotiations.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. I definitely agree with that. And while being that we're obviously, you know, NFC North guys, I don't ever want to give another NFC North team credit Kirk Cousins is a great thing. I just read that they're in negotiations to finalize a trade for Trevor Siemian from the Broncos. So you're kind of Minnesota yep. and Denver, in theory, are kind of just swapping quarterbacks right now. But I like it. I really do. Minnesota has a lot of potential to be a very good football team. I mean, but see, for me, the other thing is, Case Keenum, to me, always was a starting quarterback. Case Keenum was just that guy that went to different situations, and he never got his break. He goes to L.A. the first time. I think they were still St. Louis at the time. But he goes to L.A. Nick Foles is there, and they were committed to Nick Foles. He goes to Texas for a little while. Doesn't really get a fair shake there, but Texas's offense was not good at all then. They were relying a lot on defense. Goes back to the Rams now in L.A., and is their starting quarterback, but they draft Jared Goff, and that was really just a countdown to how long he could survive. So he's gone to these places and had success. He just never gave – he was never given a fair shake to try to get – here's your year, take this year, and we'll see what you can do. He got that chance in Minnesota, partly because of injury, but he got that chance, and he thrived. I mean, he stepped up and got his money.
Yeah, no, he absolutely did, and I think to play into your point a little more, every time he went to the Rams, he had to play for a Jeff Fisher team.
It's true.
I mean, and they had, at the same time, Jared Goff, Case Keenum, and Nick Foles, all three of which were the starting quarterbacks on a playoff team this year.
Mm-hmm.
None of them made the playoffs with the Rams, though, while Jeff Fisher was there.
Yeah, but, I mean, isn't that's kind of scary. There. Oh, I definitely think there is something there. And that's the thing. We're seeing the QB market today is crazy. I mean, Bridgewater goes to the Jets. That's a team who I had drafting a quarterback. They still might.
Yeah.
The big one right now is Cleveland, which we're going to get to that here in a second. But you're taking Kirk Cousins. Is there any signing you've seen in the free agency so far that you're just kind of scratching your head as to why?
As to why they would do it?
Why that person, yeah.
The Giants signing Jonathan Stewart is what stands out to me.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they were kind of done with retreading old, plodding running backs who don't have a lot of spring left in their steps. They have a bad rushing attack.
Yeah.
And now they brought in Nate Solder, which should help. But I think they needed more of an explosive guy. I mean, I don't know what Jonathan Stewart and Paul Perkins do differently enough that he was worth bringing in.
Okay. All right. Now, this one's going to get me a little bit of a, you know, you're probably going to fight me on this one, and I don't blame you for it.
All right. Boxing gloves up.
Boxing gloves up. Here we go. Ding, ding. Mine's the Packers signing Jimmy Graham. I don't get it. I really
okay.
don't. He's got skill. Don't get me wrong. I'm not faulting
yep.
it. He's also, like you said, he's a little bit of a used car. He doesn't you're not driving this thing off the lot fresh. It's got miles on it. We've seen that you can be successful, obviously, because you're playing with Aaron Rodgers, who has his own injury issues. But I don't get this one. You gave away the guy who was Rodgers' favorite target, the guy he relies on in and out, and you're bringing him something new. While I see the idea there, you've reset them back. He's got to get comfortable with him. He's got to get going with him. You know, there's going to be those times where he's going to be looking for Jordy, and guess what? Jordy's not there anymore. Jordy's playing on the West Coast now. And yeah. That's just, to me, is not a good one. I didn't like it. I think if you're the Packers, we made steps forward. We were a decent team last year. We saw the progress. We're trying to do some things here. Minnesota obviously just improved. You're in a fight now for the NFC North. This isn't you're going to spend the last three or four games of the year not really having to worry. There's a good chance you're going to be looking over your shoulder now. And the Bears have some young talent. I mean, the NFC North could become a very, very tough division here soon. And I just don't think taking away one of the best quarterbacks in the league's favorite target is a smart move. And you're bringing in someone who you don't know what you're going to get. You don't know, you know, Jimmy Graham is maybe not be capable of 20 touchdowns and 1,000 yards receiving anymore. It's just, it's very, very up in the air to me.
Yeah, no, as a Lions fan, I absolutely love that they cut Jordy Nelson. That guy's mm-hmm. been carving us up for, what, 8 years now?
Well, yeah, obviously, as a Lions fan, I agree with you 100% on that, yeah.
Yeah, no, but no, from the Packers, I don't understand it. There's some reports that they asked him to take a pay cut first, and he didn't, and that's what led to the release. I don't know if it's an injury thing they're worried about, but I don't know. I don't like the move from their side. Okay. Bringing in Jimmy Graham, I think we're actually a little closer than you'd think on that one. When there was first reports that he wasn't going to be retained by Seattle, I called him a older, more expensive Eric Ebron. Because that's what I see him as. There was a point in time where Jimmy Graham was the best tight end in the league.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's not this year. That's not last year. It hasn't been for some time. He's constantly dinged up. Can he play? Is he still a top 10 tight end? Absolutely. And he'll be better than anything the Packers have had at tight end for the last 20 years, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, that's very true.
But, yeah, I think it's more sizzle than steak at this point, bringing in Graham to the Packers.
I mean, to be honest, I'm not trying to put the guy down in any way. He's a true talent. I personally don't think he's been, air quotes again, that Jimmy Graham since probably when he was in the black and gold in New Orleans. He was all right in Seattle. He really was, but we all remember him just doing whatever. It looked like Madden on Rookie when he was out there playing.
Oh,
he could catch anything. He could do anything.
Oh, it was terrifying. You could not cover him.
Yeah.
And then he left the comfort of Drew Brees and that pass-happy offense, and hey, numbers dipped.
Numbers dipped. Numbers dipped. Now, before we get to our Detroit Lions, we have to point out one team and one team alone, because we were talking about this while we were getting ready. The Cleveland Browns they're doing something that I never expected. They're making moves that make sense. They're doing smart things. Think about it. We know they have the first and the fourth pick in the draft. You know, instinctually, you got to think there's a quarterback and a running back are your picks there, because you get yourself a good backup quarterback. You're making smart moves to kind of solidify other parts of your team, and you're still leaving yourself the wiggle room that if these two guys I draft aren't ready to go right away, they don't have to go right away. They have some time to watch how the game's played, mature, get your snaps when you can, and we'll go from there. And I really like it. The only downside right now is the fact that just when they're getting good, their best player retires.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Thomas decides to hang it up, and I can't fault him. The guy's played there for 11 years. He's been a consummate Pro Bowler through and through every time. It just stinks that when they're finally starting to get it going, or in theory get it going, you're losing this guy. You never want to see someone's last game be on an 0-16 season. You never want to see that. I don't care who you are.
Especially with a class act like Joe Thomas.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I do feel for him. Maybe they bring him back if some miraculous way the Browns make the playoffs in the next couple of years. Maybe they bring him back on a one-day tryout just so he can sit on the sidelines for him. He deserves that much.
I think he does. And the other thing, though, is they're finally starting to get a little bit better on paper. And now I feel like him retiring is a huge step back. I mean, left tackles like that are not just sitting there waiting for a phone call. Like they are once in a lifetime.
No, and I think to that point, I wouldn't be surprised if one of the first two picks that they have, they trade back and they target a replacement left tackle for Joe Thomas and try and get another anchor for the next 10, 15 years.
Yeah, I could see that. Now, they, as I said, they signed quarterback Tyrod Taylor. They get receiver Jarvis Landry. Do you like, do you think Tyrod Taylor gets the season? Like he'll be their quarterback for the year, whoever they draft kind of gets to sit and wait, because obviously they got rid of DeShone Kizer, so there's no real push. In everybody's mind, you would think Tyrod Taylor's the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns, you know, come this summer.
Right. No, and that's what I think. I think Tyrod's a little underrated as a quarterback. He's not going to win you a Super Bowl, but he can be a starting caliber quarterback in this league. That being said, it echoes a lot of last year with the Bears with Mike Glennon and then drafting Mitch Trubisky.
Mm-hmm.
And Glennon was supposed to be the starter the whole year and groomed Trubisky. And that lasted four games because Glennon fell flat on his face.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
If Cleveland does draft the quarterback in the top five here, Tyrod's got four games. If Cleveland's winning, I think he'll get the rest of the year. If not, they're going to see what they have in the young guy pretty quick.
I understand that. I do. To me, I think you got to look at this as we were 0-16 last year. We need to build some momentum. We've got a guy who's played in the NFL. He knows what the speed of the NFL is. I just think Cleveland has, we call Cleveland the graveyard of quarterbacks. You go there, you're never going to be successful again. I just think take this year. I keep saying we. I'm really starting to become a Cleveland fan. I really don't. My team's actually proven to be okay. I don't want to go backtrack here. They keep making smart moves. They're getting some, veteran presence. I think no matter what, even if you're 0-8 at the halfway point, there is no reason whoever you draft at quarterback, wherever it be, should be on that field. Unless, a freak accident, Tyrod Taylor gets hurt, something like that. There's zero reason. Give this guy a year. Let him sit there and see what it is. Get the feel. You're going to go through practice. Give the guy the reps he needs to be comfortable. Because obviously whoever they draft is going to be the backup quarterback more than likely. So give him the reps so that he's comfortable should you need to put him in. But I don't see a reason. You're coming off 0-16. 1-15 is still technically an improvement. So we laugh, but it's true.
You're spoken like a true Lions fan.
Yeah, exactly. But there's no reason that they should ever step on the field. That's just my opinion on it.
Yeah.
And I think that makes the most sense for this team.
I think that does make the most sense, and that's the most prudent thing. I mean, especially with Luke and Joe Thomas, this is a bad team last year. You're not going to get to 10-6 and be a healthy environment for a rookie quarterback right away. So for his best development, I think it would make more sense to sit him for a year. I just don't know how many times that actually happens in the NFL. Teams get antsy. I think what we've seen in this offseason is Cleveland's front office is making waves, and they're not afraid to make changes on the fly.
Yeah. That is a trend we've seen. I'm looking at the draft here right now for the upcoming draft. We're not arguing that there's going to be a quarterback going to Cleveland, so I'll pass that. The Giants haven't taken anyone or haven't signed anyone of merit, neither have the Colts. But then you look. Denver's fifth. That was somewhere we had a quarterback going. The Jets are sixth. That was somewhere we had a quarterback going. Obviously, since we started this show, San Francisco's locked up their quarterback that they've chosen for the future. Buffalo now kind of needs a quarterback.
Yeah, they signed A.J. McCarron to a two-year deal, but I don't think that stops them from drafting a quarterback.
No, but you look, Buffalo now needs a quarterback, so there's someone. Arizona signs Bradford. You want to think that they've made their commitment to a quarterback, but we also know Bradford's health. You got to think a quarterback's on their eye, especially too.
Oh, yeah.
Bradford's not 22 anymore. He's up there in age for an NFL quarterback. So you got to look at that. It's these signings we were saying has kind of thrown a wrench into all this. You don't know where quarterbacks are going now.
Oh right. No. When all this started, we thought maybe 3-4 quarterbacks in the top six.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like 3-4 quarterbacks in like 5-10 in that range.
I would say so, because Arizona's at 15, and after that, I don't see a need for a quarterback for a while. But yeah, I would say it's crazy.
Yeah, a lot of things have changed, and hey, who knows? Maybe more will change. Maybe I'm ready for some more trades. Let's keep this going.
Yeah, it's crazy. This might be the first time we don't see a quarterback. I mean, aside from the Cleveland Brown one, which, like you said, they could trade one of those picks away, so we don't even know.
Yep.
But this might be the first time in a while that I can remember we might not see a quarterback taken until after 5.
That would be crazy.
Actually, later than that, actually. Now that I look at it, probably till after 10. Because, like we said, the Jets and Broncos are, in theory, set at quarterback for right now.
I'd be shocked if someone doesn't trade up at that point with somebody. I mean, maybe it's the Browns at 4, maybe it's even the Browns at 1. To that somebody falls in love with the quarterback. We had Tennessee trade up a number of years back to get like Jake Locker, and the Vikings traded up to get Christian Ponder, guys that weren't really all that highly thought of in their draft and were proven to not be very much.
Well, yeah, look what happened there. Neither of those guys made it out of like 4 years in the league either. That's crazy.
Yeah, exactly. So some team's going to fall in love, and hey, the more trades, the better in my book. That's more entertaining.
Absolutely.
I think that's where free agency has left us, is that there's going to be a big trade for a rookie quarterback in the draft.
Okay. And then I want to touch on this one because you actually informed me of this one. I didn't even know about this, but I want to get your thought real quick on it.
Yep.
Jordy Nelson to Oakland. What is that? What does that do for that offense? Like that, this now becomes a top tier, very strong offense. I mean, they sign a quality tight end. I mean, they've got a couple tight ends that are all right, but you, I mean, you get a quality tight end in there. That's the most balanced offense that you can't predict what they're going to do.
Yeah, I tell you what, man, he might not be a banana, but he's going to play for this team.
No, but he's your Spider-Man. You want that guy. That dude's your Spider-Man.
That is, what it really means to me is that I'm going after Derek Carr in fantasy football.
Oh, absolutely.
That is an embarrassment of riches that he has there with Amari Cooper, who had a down year, due for a bounce back. Michael Crabtree, who's been a red zone monster the last 2 years. And now veteran Jordy Nelson, you know, you get to throw him around the formation. Maybe he comes out of the slot. Maybe he takes some snaps outside. He gets to be your two or three.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Oh, and then did we forget to mention that you've got Skittles in the backfield?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
no one can tackle anyway. It is the epitome. When is the last time you've seen a team that can just as easily run the air raid as they can the power eye, pound it down the field running back? We haven't seen this in a long time, and it's very, very scary.
Well, my concern with Lynch is that the first one to tackle him is going to be AARP. He's getting up there, and who knows about his body. I mean, he retired 2 years ago now.
Yeah, my opinion on that one was that he retired because he just didn't want to be in Seattle anymore.
And oh, maybe, but he's got a lot of miles on those legs, too.
He really does, but a lot of miles. But you know what? The thing is, if you look at a lot of his big runs, he does take contact, but a lot of those times in Seattle, he cleared holes without having to really touch anyone, and that's, you know, I like that. I really do. I think that, obviously, we're not looking at a guy that's going to be on this team for another 5-6 years, but you tell him, hey, man, we just got another offensive weapon to take a little bit more of the load off you. We've got a pretty balanced offense. Our defense isn't too bad either. What do you say you give us 1 or 2 years of everything you got, and let's try to raise a trophy? And something tells me he'll buy in on that. I really do. He's from Oakland. That's his city. To get a Super Bowl for them, I think would be the greatest thing. I think we'd see another Jerome Bettis. That title would be his walk-off into the, you know, eventual Hall of Fame.
Yeah, no, I think he's there until he retires for good. And if they can get him into, like, a short-yarded specialist situation where, hey, he gets to come in the goal lines and he gets 8 touchdowns or so in the year, that's when he's used best.
Mm-hmm.
But they need to solidify the between-the-20s runner to help him out.
Yeah, no, I agree. And just as a little offside note, I really am looking forward to hearing that Hall of Fame acceptance speech, by the way. Marshawn Lynch's Hall of Fame acceptance speech. I just can't wait. I'm so excited. I'm so upset that I have to wait multiple years for this.
I just hope he walks up there and just goes, I'm just here to get my gold jacket.
Yeah, pretty much. I really what I want to see him do is just do that, put the gold jacket on, walk up to the podium, thank everyone, and then right as he's done, just pull out a pack of Skittles. I think that would be just amazing. That would be amazing. That would be my favorite thing, I think.
Oh, hopefully you at least get the endorsement deal for it, if that's the case.
That'd be great. Yeah, definitely. All right, so we've talked about everyone else. Why don't we talk about the team that's right here at home. What's your opinion so far on what the Detroit Lions have done in this early part of free agency?
So a lot of nervous fans are understandably getting nervous because we were linked to Sherman. We were linked to Malcolm Butler. Neither of them panned out. We ended up signing Deshaun Sheed out of Seattle. So it gives the appearance like the Lions have whiffed and haven't really done anything.
Yeah.
But there's been some depth linebacker signings. Devin Kennard, I think, is going to start for this team. Christian Jones is going to be a backup. Sheed, like I mentioned, I think he's going to be the number two corner this year.
Mm-hmm.
He started for Seattle. We're just slowly chipping away and not overpaying, because that's what happens in the early stages of free agency. It's tough to slow yourself down and remember that, but it's position players that are getting overpaid or skill position players that are getting overpaid is typically what happens in the first couple of days of free agency.
Yeah, it's very true.
Yeah, there's still some really good guys out there, though, and I'm going to be disappointed if, you know, a week or two passes and we haven't made a splash. I've got about $26 million in cap space for the first time that I can remember.
Yeah, so, it's been a while.
Yeah, I'd like to see at least one impact player get brought in, but I'm cautiously optimistic right now.
Okay. I can say for Kennard, from everything I've heard from people that whose opinion I actually trust, it sounds like this guy's going to be something that we're going to be very happy we have. The guy's an athlete. He's a contributor. It sounds like we did something to help ourselves there in a good way. We're not relying only on Jared Davis to be the only linebacker on the field now. So
right.
I like that. I like the Sheed signing. I really think that's a good one. I liked our secondary before we signed him. Now that secondary looks even better. Obviously, we both know about the little issue now we have on the other side of the football. I'm not too enthusiastic about that, but I want to ask you, what scares you more? The appearance that we kind of whiffed on the bigger names, or the reports we keep getting of getting running backs who were alive when the NFL and the AFL merged together?
Listen, Frank Gore is a great dude, and somehow he has Father Time by the short hairs, because I don't know how he's still moving around at 34 with the 13 years he's been doing this, getting like at least 200 carries a year. But that's what scares me more, is that all we're looking at running back-wise is these, you know, 28-plus, 30-plus, beaten-down guys. Like, go solve tight end. We just let Ebron go. We have Roberts. I mean, that's all we have on the team.
He's
we lost Fells to the Browns.
Fells to the Browns.
We've seen it time and time and time again. You can hit a running back later in the draft, in the second, third, fourth round, like Kareem Hunt last year, right? Like third round pick. So we have a cheap option. Go find a tight end. That scares me a lot more.
Sony Michel. I've been on the bandwagon, and I'm not getting off of it. Pretty soon they're going to let me steer the bandwagon. I've been on it for so long. I agree with you, though. To me, there's a more glaring gap at that tight end spot than there is at the running back.
Right.
Our Abdullah, Riddick. I like Teon Green. I know you and I have mentioned him a couple times. I like him. So we've got three running backs there, all three of which are serviceable. They're not the best, but we both know that we're not rushing, you know, 40 times a game this year. We're a passing team until otherwise. So get the tight end. The tight end seems to be a little more useful to Stafford than the running back with the offense we run. Obviously, Patricia's coming in. He's going to want to establish himself. That's why I see a lot more of eyeballing the defense than the offense right now. He wants to make sure what he knows best is ready to go, and we'll work from there. You've got a top, like I said, he's a top 10 to me. You got a top 10 quarterback. You've got some receivers that have proven they're pretty effective. I think that tight end spot's a little more glaring and needs to be addressed. I spoke to our sports guy here at work today. I mentioned it to you that we might be going after Tyler Eifert, the tight end for the Bengals. I like that. He's a pass catcher. Obviously, I'd like someone who's a little more, you know, known for his blocking ability. I love that you can catch the ball. That's extra to me. You're a down lineman for a reason. We want to be able to run the ball. It starts with that, you know, because 9 times out of 10, the tight end's the lead blocker on a lot of runs if you don't use a fullback, which no team in the NFL uses a fullback anymore.
We've been using a linebacker.
As our fullback.
Nick Ballore.
Mr. Utility.
Yeah.
So I agree with you on that. I think it's just a glaring thing. But it's just to me, I'm still trying to do the math on why you get rid of Ebron. Like, you don't have anything on the horizon unless there's something you're doing in the draft that we don't know about, or there's some tight end you guys have scouted to no end that you know is going to be there when we draft him and need him, and he's going to be effective at the next level. I don't get it. I get the money. You're saving yourself some money. But on the flip side, I think a lot of our grudge against him was this past year, the whole Twitter thing where he became way more outspoken than we were used to. But for the most part, the last couple of years he's been average, but he's been effective average. He's a detriment at points, but I've seen more plus than I have negative on the field. He's serviceable. He's a serviceable tight end that's not going to hurt our productivity or do anything to try to hurt us. He goes out there. He tries to make catches. He tries to make plays. I just don't understand why you don't hold on to that part or hold on to that piece. Use him while we're trying to fix gaps that are a little more glaring.
I think it was 100% money. I mean, you kind of hit on it. He's been average to above average, but you're going to have to pay him more than that. I mean, last year, 574 yards and 4 touchdowns. For a tight end, that's okay. I mean, it's kind of the top two or three tight ends and then a big chunk of everyone else. And he fell into that. So I think the thinking, yeah, good English. Yeah,
good job.
is that they can go and find a guy who's going to do similar for a fraction of the cost. He never had more than 711 passing yards. He never had more than five touchdowns. So, and he only played all 16 games once in 4 years. So I think they're just looking for a cheaper, maybe more consistent option that might not produce the exact same, but is going to do close enough for a fraction of the cost.
Okay. Now, this one I'm going to do just because he became a free agent. He's a previous player here. I want to get your opinion on it. You already know who I'm talking about. But would you like to have Mr. Stomp back in Detroit? If we could afford him, if the money's there, he's not going to, because we, like you said, we've got about what, 20 something million?
26, yeah.
26. If he's not going to drain, obviously he's not going to drain the whole thing, but if he's, you know, if he's not going to put us in such a dent that we can't do other things this offseason, would you like to see Ndamukong Suh back in the Honolulu Blue and Silver?
So I'll lead off by referring to our Twitter poll. We 2 days ago, we asked the fan base, kind of tried to get a canvas. What would you do? What do you think the Lions should do with Suh if the situation arose?
Yeah.
57% bring him back. 20% said stay away, and 23% said they would only bring him back on a discount. So tossing that together, that's 80% of the people in this poll said that they would take Suh back in some form or another. I'm part of the 20. I'm done with him. We had him. He was a headache at the end. It's not like the guy went to Miami, was suddenly humbled, and he's had a renaissance as a person. Like, can he rush the passer from an interior position? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
His run stopping hasn't been nearly as good. He's still going to command more money than a D tackle. I mean, we could use the help on the D line, but he's going to take away money that could be allocated to like a D end, right? That could produce more of a pass rush in his role. The bad blood there, the baggage there, I don't think it offsets enough that I would want him back in Honolulu Blue.
Yeah. But in the article I'm reading, it is true. There's a whole new ownership, not ownership, there's a whole new management there since he left. So you got a chance to kind of, let's restart it. Let's take the bad blood out, you know.
Oh, right.
Let's put the new blood. Let's get you back in this, you know, in this city and contributing. Now, I want to just dream hypothetical here, because I know it's a stretch, and it is.
Yeah.
But we get him back. I don't want to say it a bargain, because there's no way this guy's going to bargain. He may cut a little bit, but he's not going to cut a lot. He's got a reputation in this league, so there's going to be teams that won't go near him just for that fact. We get him. Now, imagine that defense. Our secondary now has options. We brought in another linebacker or two. We still have a draft to go. So you've got all that. It looks very appealing. Our linebacking core is good. Now you've got a defensive line with Ziggy, who, when he's healthy and playing, has potential to be a very effective down lineman. You've got Ndamukong Suh, who automatically takes up half the line blocking anyway. Just that we have a very good chance of this becoming a very scary defense, the likes of which gets mentioned with Philadelphia, you know? In our opinion, the top defense in the league. Is that bad blood you have with him, in your opinion, is that enough there to outweigh the possibilities?
Personally, no. Because, I mean, even in that situation, my first thought is we still need a D end opposite Ziggy.
Yeah.
Right? And getting Suh doesn't take away from that. So if we can spend that money and go get a D end of similar caliber, I think it's easier to find a serviceable D tackle that could do maybe 70-80% of what Suh does.
Yeah.
Whereas finding a D end that does, you know, 70-80%, it's a lot harder to find.
I agree with you. I do. I think you and I are obviously on different sides of the spectrum here for this, but I can see your point and I agree with it. The last thing I want to mention real fast, because, you know, we've got one other thing we want to cover, but real quick. Tyrann Mathieu became a free agent. You like the idea. I kind of want to get your idea why.
I want the Honey Badger.
Okay.
He is. taking out of my logical mind for a minute, he's just fun to watch.
He is. I mean, he's very entertaining.
I loved him in college. I was so mad when he fell to Arizona because it was the perfect situation. He knew Patrick Peterson, was comfortable with Patrick Peterson. That could be the support system for him. And he blossomed into a Pro Bowl player. I would love that kind of player. That's the kind of player that the Lions have been grooming Miles Killebrew to be, kind of that nickel linebacker safety combo player. Why not just jump ahead in the progression 3-4 years, whatever it is,
and get the guy that's already there?
Yeah, to get the guy that's already what you're trying to make Killebrew be. Maybe Killebrew becomes that. Awesome. You know what might help that progress? Seeing it firsthand, yeah. Being tutored by the guy who's already doing it at a Pro Bowl level. What kind of makes me think the Lions might not go after him is in their scouting, and even with the Sheed signing, they're putting a premium on size in the secondary. Sheed's 6'2". A lot of the safeties that they've been scouting have been 6 foot and above. Tyrann Mathieu's definitely not 6 foot and above.
No, he's not. He's
a bit diminutive in his stature, but the guy can play, and he'd be exciting to watch. And that's more than anything, that's what I want. I think he can be productive, and if less likely, I'm going to go to my refrigerator during defensive snaps if he's on there.
I will agree with you that he's definitely not 6 foot, but I think the athleticism, contributes, you know, to that. It helps it out a lot. My only qualm with it, because I know we sat here a week ago and had a conversation about personality.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like his personality and the fact that he does need to be a little bit more of the, you know, star of attention kind of guy, I don't like it. But at the same time, with him over Odell, I see talent that we can use. And I don't disagree with getting him. Mm-hmm. It's just on the flip side, we've been making moves in the secondary to get the pieces we want. I just don't know if adding him in after we've just re-signed a safety really makes sense. Especially because he's not going to come at a bargain. He's an athlete. He's talented. There's going to be a lot of teams going for him. He's going to have his pick of contracts. And I can tell you right now that whatever contract he gets is going to definitely put a dent into what the money we have to give.
Oh, absolutely. A 25-year-old Pro Bowl defensive back on the open market, yeah, it's going to be pricey.
It's going to be tough. It's going to be very, very. The only thing I could see for it would maybe be a sign-in trade if we could work it with someone. That would be the only way I see it happening.
No, I'd sign him straight off and just hope for the best. I know we signed Tavon Wilson back, but I'm not too worried about it. They ran a lot of three safety stuff at the end of last year.
Yeah.
They could easily start doing it again.
Yeah, fair enough. And then last thing we got to talk about, because I know we got to wrap. We only had a short amount of time here today, but I want to get into it because, like you said, it's March Madness. So just quickly, I want to get what's your final four, and who do you got in the title, and just a real quick summary for me. What do you got?
So I got coming out of South Virginia, and then I got Villanova, Duke, and Going Boys in Blue, Michigan, the Final Four. I'm a big numbers guy, so of course I've been on Ken Pomeroy's site, get the Ken Pom rankings. You know,
yeah.
I've been there the last 2 days. That's where I live. Using that, I have a Virginia-Villanova final. Virginia's got the 21st best offensive efficiency numbers, first in defense. Villanova is first in offense, 24th in defense. So, talking top 25 inefficiency in both categories, number one in one of them, fire and water, strength against strength on both sides here. I think Villanova with the offense ends up taking it just because, I mean, that's defense gets you there. I think you're going to need a little more offensive firepower to push over the top.
Okay.
But that's also from a guy who doesn't watch much college basketball. So here's the numbers. Let's hope.
Yeah, no, definitely. You and I have almost a mirror Final Four. I do not have Virginia in the Final Four for two reasons. One, they lost DeAndre Hunter, a guy who was a big player for them. They lost him for the tournament. So I think that's going to, you know, you can't have a cohesive unit like they do and lose someone. I think it's hard to step up after that. They're a great team. I fought myself like crazy having to, you know, put them out of the Final Four because I really thought they'd be there. My second reason is the 7'1", in my opinion, first overall pick that is the center from Arizona. Last name's Ayton. My team name. Literally, my team name for our bracket is No Debating Ayton because he's that good. So my final four is Arizona, Michigan, Villanova, Duke. And I have Michigan and Villanova going to the national championship.
Mm-hmm. And
this was a homer pick here. I have Michigan winning it. In another bracket, I have the exact same thing. Only difference is I have Arizona winning it. But Michigan, I don't know. The last couple of years, Michigan's gotten hot at the right time. You know, back-to-back Big Ten tournament champions. They, you know, they've shown a lot of signs of improvement over the last couple of years. They're not the biggest team, I'll grant you that, but they seem to, with the size they have and the talent they have, they seem to have the offense that fits them perfectly. It's a bit of a homer pick, I'll acknowledge, but at the same time, you know, this is the tournament. You need to have one good day and you're moving on. So I'm going to take them for it, but Villanova is also the reigning national champion, so you can't really take them out of contention.
Yeah, no, I would. Nothing would make me happier than to have my bracket broken by Michigan winning.
Yeah, well, and having you and I both having sat in a bar watching a national championship contending Michigan team a few years ago, I don't think I could handle seeing them lose again.
Oh, and the poetic thing about it is the team that beat them there, Louisville, just had that stripped from them.
Exactly.
So we have no champion, but we have a second place Michigan team, and now we're back.
And see, but you know what? I agree. It sucks to see, but at the same time, their issues for losing the title or having the championship stripped for them has nothing to do with how they played on the court. So as much as I'd love to say, oh, good, we're technically the national champions. We're not. We lost that game. There's nothing we can do about it. It hurt. It really did, especially after Spike Albrecht having the first half of a lifetime. Little 5'11" white kid having 17 points by halftime. It's
nothing
just amazing.
Heart.
Oh, nothing but heart. So I love it. But that's going to do it for us here on Armchair Sports Talk. I got to thank Russ Ivanek taking his lunch break to sit and talk with me, wasting his time.
Hey, man, it was either this or try and eat a sandwich. And I mean, like, who wants to eat?
Yeah, eating. Come on, dude. Have you seen yourself lately? Come on, you can skip. You can skip. I want to thank you. This was a great time. I really enjoy it. We can't wait to get Justin back next week. It's always fun having him on. That's one small step for us, one giant leap back in Detroit sports broadcasting.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. May God have mercy on your soul.